A reading from the book of Genesis. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moab, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of the young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to the young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, "Father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But an angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. But now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw the ram caught in the thicket by the horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord shall will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, say the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you. I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and of the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of the enemies. And by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham turned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived in Beersheba. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. from the Gospel of Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The word of the Lord.
Thank you. A warm welcome to all of you. We're so glad that you're here at St. John's Cathedral this evening. Welcome to the St. George's Society. Welcome to all of you. It is my joy and pleasure to also welcome our preacher this evening. The Reverend Adam Green is the Dean of Spiritual Life at the Episcopal School of Houston, Texas. And he is soon to become the headmaster of Episcopal School of Jacksonville. As many of you know, Episcopal School of Jacksonville has been through a great deal, and we are so grateful to have found Adam after a few years of searching for the right person. So it is my joy to welcome Adam and to hear from him tonight. I also want to encourage you to be generous as we pass our offering plates around. The offering from this Even's Even song goes to our music program. We teach all children who are interested a free program of the Royal Church School of Music, where they learn how to read music and sing in front of others. And of course, this beautiful choir, which is mostly made up of volunteers, and the beautiful organ that you hear. So I hope you will be generous with us this evening. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you. May I speak tonight and always in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It is such an incredible joy to be here with you all tonight in this beautiful and holy place. I'm so thankful to Dean Moorhead for inviting me to serve as the preacher for this very special St. George's Evensong service. I have to admit that when Kate called early last fall to ask if April 24th was clear on my calendar, it seemed like April was a lifetime away. Now, as we approach the end of the school year, with seniors graduating and college or the working world looming, with our eighth graders thinking about what classes to choose or what sports or arts they might get involved in their first year of high school, with some of our middle or lower schoolers getting ready for their new teachers and maybe even the nervousness of a new school, I'm guessing that any of you that are involved in the school world, or those of you with children or grandchildren of your own, that you're like me, trying to figure out where this year has gone. But as this school year disappears in the rearview mirror, as my family and I prepare for our move from Houston to Jacksonville, I can't tell you really what an honor and a privilege is to be here at St. John's. The congregation, the community of faith that, among so many other wonderful things, had the vision and the inspiration, the sense of purpose, and the commitment to help found Episcopal High School 50 years ago. And after my wife Martha and daughter Knox and I do move over this summer, we look forward to seeing many of you here, at school, and around this great city. There's another place you might see me as well, and that's out on the roads. You see, one of my great passions is cycling. As often as I'm able, early on weekend mornings, I put on my spandex, I pump up my racing bike tires, I say a prayer that I will survive the terrible traffic and giant potholes of what folks call the Petro Metro, and in the logo-covered bike gear that makes me look like some kind of billboard on wheels, I head out for my ride. Well, for years, my regular ride would take me past a bright yellow storefront, a bookstore, with a large sign that ran across the front. It said, "Resources for the Christian Journey." Resources for the Christian Journey. For many rides, I didn't give much thought to this sign. The Christian Journey, that's nice. It's a Christian bookstore. And then I started to think more about what this term Christian journey might actually mean. Was this journey a walk with Christ throughout our lives? Was it a bifurcated experience? Either you're a believer or not a believer? Is it, as some say, a progression or a deepening of our faith that we already have inside us? So on my Office on Wheels, I dwelled on this question. And one day, a wise friend of mine talked about the Christian journey in terms of seasons, in terms of seasons. Maybe it's because I love sports, and in the school world, I live myself from season to season. Volleyball and field hockey and football, to basketball and soccer and wrestling, to lacrosse and rowing and softball and tennis. And finally, of course, to that most wonderful season of all, downtime in the summer. But thinking about the Christian journey in terms of seasons really spoke to me. And I believe that this journey of faith we are on can be divided up into four seasons. Four seasons. First, the season of the spectator. During this season, just like a play or a concert or a sporting event, we watch people who are farther along on their journeys of faith. We watch them at work or in class, in church, or at camp, or on the playing field, or on stage, or volunteering out in the community, in a homeless shelter, or some other service project. We watch, and we notice that there might be something a little different about these folks, who are a little farther along in their journeys of faith. They seem to feel something that we don't feel as a spectator. As a spectator, we might listen to what is said, but more than anything, we watch. We watch as these people of faith live their lives. The second season of our journey is the season of the seeker. After we've been spectating for a while, or maybe even much of our lives, we begin to say to ourselves, you know, I kind of like what I see, and I might be interested in that. In the same way that we might become interested in a particular career, hobby, or art, or learning opportunities, we say to ourselves, those folks that are professing to be Christians, folks who talk about their faith, they seem to have something I might like. I like the way they live or act or support others, and I want to know more about it. We begin to study books that are recommended, articles, scripture itself. We might begin to actively attend church or worship services. We might join a Bible study. Not yet sure of how we feel about what we really believe, but we investigate, we seek to know more about the seed of grace, of faith that God's planted in our hearts. This season of seeking can then lead to the third season. The third season of the Christian journey, the season of the follower. We could now be called disciples. As a follower, we now believe in the core tenets of the Christian faith. There is one God, Father Almighty. Jesus was God's Son. He was both human and divine. He died on the cross so we might be reconciled with God. He showed us the way to the Father through his teachings and example. During the season that we are followers, we participate in the sacraments, those outward and visible signs of inward grace, like baptism and confirmation in the Eucharist. These are all visible signs to those around us of how far we've come on our journey of faith. These sacraments also bring us closer on a regular basis to the God in whom we now have faith. The life of a disciple, a follower. This is season number 3. So why doesn't our journey end there? Why isn't season 3 enough? We believe, we read and attend and participate. We're followers. We're the disciples that Jesus spoke so often about. Our journey of faith has brought us to discipleship. Why isn't it enough, as Jesus said, to just drop your nets and follow him? Just as there are 4 seasons in the year, finally there can be number 4 in our lives. It is the season of the kingdom builder. The season of the kingdom builder. Just as Jesus said, drop your nets and follow me, he also gave the disciples a final instruction. The instruction we heard so beautifully read tonight. After the Son of God had been crucified, after he died, after he'd been raised from the dead, and appeared to the disciples, he gave them one final instruction. Build the kingdom of God. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. In the 4th season of our journey of faith, the season of the kingdom builder, we begin to invest our time, our resources, part of our life itself, into helping build the kingdom of God here on earth. In the kingdom season, we begin to understand that our priority, our calling, is to adhere to the great commandment by serving God and serving man. Serving and loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Many of us enter this kingdom building season without even realizing it. We might work with the homeless or those in need. We might help build or oversee a school or a church or a charitable outreach that benefits the community. We become the hands and feet of Christ without even knowing it sometimes. Just as we saw, we heard in tonight's Old Testament reading, Abraham says, here I am, Lord, send me. He had entered what we might call the kingdom season. We too are willing to sacrifice, to give up, to take on in order to build God's kingdom here on earth. We follow as disciples, but we're also servant leaders. Our priority is in the others we serve, in small everyday ways, in large life-changing ways. As we celebrate our St. George's Evensong tonight, I admire the beautiful stained glass window of St. George battling the dragon. St. George, the kingdom builder, who was willing to give up in his all to build and to serve. So I talked earlier about those committed men and women who had the vision and the passion some 50 years ago to start Episcopal High School, an outreach from this very congregation. As we think about the Christian journey or about the journey of faith, regardless of personal or family background, it is a beautiful and wonderful thing to reflect on the Christian nurture that Episcopal's founders talked about for their new place of learning and discovery, of education not just for the mind, but for the body and for the spirit of our young men and women. 50 years later, in our own lives, in our families' lives, and in the lives of young people and old who we guide and teach and mentor each day, this mission of spiritual growth through Christian nurture and exploration is alive and well. So four seasons: spectator, seeker, follower, and kingdom builder. What I'd like to ask you to think about this evening is what season you might be in your own journey of faith. Are you spectating, watching others and studying? Are you actively seeking to understand what faith might mean? How it makes a difference in your friends' or children's parents' or community's members' lives? Are you already someone of faith who practices and understands? Are you a kingdom builder who serves and dedicates part of their lives to helping others on their journeys of faith, to strengthening God's kingdom in the here and the now? I ask you to think about what season you might be in, but I also want to say that wherever we are in our journeys, it is okay. God calls us all at different times and in different ways, and I believe that this is okay. It is okay to spectate and to watch, to be as yet unsure fully of what your faith might mean. It's okay to be seeking. It's okay, not just okay actually, to be a disciple. It is a wonderful thing to be a follower. It is a wonderful thing to investigate how God might be calling us to spread his kingdom. People who some 2,000 years later, through our active love and service to others, into this greater community, and the examples we set, are still following Jesus' command. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Amen.
Lord, support us all the day long until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes and the busy world is hushed and the fever of life is over and our work is done. Then, in thy mercy, grant us a safe lodging and a holy rest and a peace at the last. Amen.
Amen. O eternal God, bless all schools, colleges, and universities, and especially the Episcopal School of Jacksonville, that they may be lively centers for sound learning, new discovery, and the pursuit of wisdom. And grant that those who teach and learn may find you to be the source of all truth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
O God, whom saints and angels delight to worship in heaven, be ever present with your servants who seek through art and music to perfect the praises offered by your people on earth, and grant to them even now glimpses of your beauty, and make them worthy at length to behold it unveiled forevermore, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. We give thanks for this evening, and we ask God's blessing upon the whole world, bringing peace among nations, comfort to those who are sick and mourning, strength to those in need. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.